Hello everyone, and welcome. I'm here, and welcome to The Deepest Law. We're going to be talking today about the Mr. Men, and we're going to be watching a number of episodes. Just before the stream started, I ran a number of polls on Twitter to see which episodes people wanted to watch. So we've picked out a number. We have winners in all of these polls. I must say, looking at the results, they're all quite mainstream choices from the crowd. A little bit disappointed. I was expecting to see less ribald mainstreamery from the Deepest Law faithful, but I'll go with the populists on this occasion. Although elitist arguments from chat will be considered to override any of the results. I'm drinking, by the way, lovely cup of Twinings tea, the extra strong variant. And what else? Oh yes. I also have some Danish cookies on the go. Danish butter cookies. Two of them, in fact. I've eaten one, and the second one is I'll probably eat it during one of the episodes on the sly. Now I will be, as ever, commenting on various aspects of these episodes as we go. So we're not just going to be watching them together. I will be providing my usual analysis on this rather chilly New Year's Eve. It's pretty cold here. I'm using the tea to warm up my freezing hands. So anyway, I was hoping that we'd have a little cozy little get together watching the Mr. Men. Just before we get going, I wanted to provide a few details on Roger Hargreaves, the author of the Mr. Men. I don't know anything about him other than the fact that he wrote the Mr. Men. So I brought up his Wikipedia entry. Thought it might be interesting for people to know who wrote these books, which sold 85 million copies worldwide. So Roger Hargreaves was obviously from England. He was born in West Yorkshire. He is famous for writing the Mr. Men, 85 million copies sold worldwide, and they've been translated into 20 different languages. In his early life, he attended a Sowerbury Bridge Grammar School, now called Trinity Academy. He spent a year working for his father's laundry and dry cleaning business before getting employment in advertising. His original ambition was to be a cartoonist. In 1971, he created a successful series used to promote the Ascot powders on TV, and these were used from 1971 to 1994. Also in 1971, while working as a creative director at a London firm, he wrote his first Mr. Man book, which was Mr. Tickle. Initially, he had difficulty finding a publisher for this, but once he did find a publisher, the books became an instant success, selling over 1 million copies within 3 years. In 1974, the book spawned a BBC animated series narrated by Arthur Lowe. A second series followed a year later, saw newer titles transmitted in a double bill format with those from the first series. By 1976, Hargreaves had quit his day job, so he was selling enough copies of the Mr. Men not to have to work at the firm anymore, at the advertising agency. Then in 1981, he launched the Little Miss series of books, And in 1983, this was also made into a television series, this time narrated by Pauline Collins and her husband John Alderton. Although Hargreaves wrote many other children's stories, including the Timbuktu series of 25 books, John Mouse and the Roundy, and the Squarey books, he is best known, of course, for the Mr. Men. He died. He moved to Guernsey in 1975, so he must have been doing pretty well in order to move to Guernsey. Because you don't just move to Guernsey, you need to be pretty loaded to live there, from my experience. They then settled in Sussex House Farm near Cowden in Kent, and Hargreaves died on the 11th of September 1988 at the age of only 53. So he died pretty young. His son Adam took over, and he continued writing and drawing the Mr. Men and Little Miss characters while signing the covers in his father's signature. And in 2004, Hargreaves' widow, Christine, sold the rights of the Mr. Men characters to the UK entertainment group Corian for £28 million. And in December 2011, Corian sold the Mr. Men brand and all of the associated merchandise to a business in Japan called Sanrio. So unfortunately, it is a fold off this. He sold off this, and so Mr. Men now belongs to Japan, apparently. So anyway, with all of that said, let us begin. The first poll was between Mr. Happy. There were four choices in total: Mr. Happy, Mr. Silly, Mr. Jelly, and Mr. Snow. Mr. Happy won with 35% of the vote. So we're going to be watching Mr. Happy to start with. So hopefully everybody will be able to hear this, and I've got it up loud enough. Let me know if you can hear this.
Grammarly helps make your writing clear and concise. No matter where you are.
Okay. Can you hear this? No, I thought I'd turn the ad blocker on, but okay. Can you hear that?
On the other side of the world, there is a country called Happyland, where the trees are 100 feet tall, and where the sun shines hotter than here. And, as you might very well expect, everybody who lives in Happyland is as happy as the day is long. Wherever you go, you see smiling faces all around. It's such a happy place that even the flowers seem to smile in Happyland. And as well as all the people being happy, all the animals in Happyland are happy as well. If you've never seen a mouse smile, or a cat, or a dog, or even a worm, you go to Happyland. Now, this story is about somebody who lives there, and who happens to be called Mr. Happy. Mr. Happy is fat, and round, and happy. He lives in a small cottage beside a lake at the foot of a mountain and close to a wood.
I have to stop it there just to mention that this house here is, when I was growing up, I always imagined that this is the sort of house that people would live in. And that turned out not to be true. But let's carry on.
One day, while Mr. Happy was out walking through the tall trees in those woods near his home, he came across something which was really rather extraordinary. There, in the trunk of one of the very tall trees, was a door. Not a very large door, but nevertheless, a door. A small, narrow, yellow door. I wonder who lives here, thought Mr. Happy to himself. And he turned the handle of that small, narrow, yellow door. The door wasn't locked, and it swung open quite easily. Mr. Happy squeezed his rather large body through the rather thin doorway. Just inside the small, narrow, yellow door was a small, narrow, winding staircase leading downwards. The stairs went round and round and down and down and round and round and down and down.
There's a little bit of a light lifting from Lewis Carroll there, because that's, I'm pretty sure, the description when Alice goes through the looking glass. When she falls down the hole, actually, in Alice in Wonderland, I'm pretty sure it goes round and round and down in that way.
Eventually, after a long time, Mr. Happy reached the bottom of the staircase. He looked around and saw, there in front of him, another small, narrow door. But this one was red. Mr. Happy knocked at the door.
"Who's there?"
said a voice. Sad, squeaky sort of voice.
"Who's there?"
Mr. Happy pushed open the red door slowly. And who do you think he saw? There, sitting on a stool, was somebody who looked exactly like Mr. Happy, except that he didn't look happy at all.
Ah!
In fact, he looked downright miserable. "Hello, Mr. Happy. I'm Mr. Happy."
"Oh, how are you indeed?"
sniffed the person who looked like Mr. Happy but wasn't.
"Well, my name's Mr. Miserable, and I'm the most miserable person in the world."
"Why are you so miserable?" asked Mr. Happy.
"Because I am,"
replied Mr. Miserable. "How would you like to be happy, like me?" asked Mr. Happy.
"I'd give anything to be happy," said Mr. Miserable.
Mr. Miserable's black-pilled. Mr. Happy's going to dole some white pills to him.
"Well, I'm so miserable, I don't think I ever could be happy,"
he added miserably. Mr. Happy made up his mind quickly. "Follow me," he said.
"Where to?"
asked Mr. Miserable. "Don't argue," said Mr. Happy. And he went out through the small, narrow red door. Mr. Miserable hesitated and then followed. Up and up the winding staircase they went. Up and up and round and round and up and round and round and up until they came out through the yellow door and into the wood. "Follow me," said Mr. Happy again. And they both set off through the wood back to Mr. Happy's cottage. Mr. Miserable stayed in Mr. Happy's cottage for quite some time. And during that time, the most remarkable thing happened. Because he was living in Happy Land, Mr. Miserable, ever so slowly, stopped being miserable.
Well, it's a state of mind, you see. It's all about getting in touch with his spirit to try to change that around. Nobody needs to be sad. You've got the power to make yourself unsad. So if you find a Mr. Miserable, you should try to do what Mr. Happy's doing here. Change it around for them. Be positive.
The corners of his mouth stopped turning down and ever so slowly started turning up. And eventually, Mr. Miserable did something that he'd never done in the whole of his life. He smiled, and then he chuckled, which turned into a giggle, which became a laugh. A big, booming, hearty, huge, giant, large, enormous laugh. And Mr. Happy was so surprised that he started to laugh as well. Both of them laughed and laughed.
Now, how are they going to tell the difference between each other now? Because they look identical.
They laugh until their sides hurt and their eyes watered. Mr. Miserable laughed and laughed. Mr. Happy laughed and laughed. Because they were laughing so much, everybody who saw them started laughing as well.
Even the birds started. Even the trees started to laugh at the thought of somebody called Mr. Miserable.
I have to go back and check out this crowd. Let's check out the characters.
Some
in this crowd
started laughing as well.
Look at this crowd. Oh my gosh, look at the characters here. There's old Mark in the front, look. So he's a eunuch there.
Even the birds started, and the trees started to laugh at the thought of somebody called Mr. Miserable who just couldn't stop laughing.
Oh, man.
That really is the end of the story. Except to say that if ever you feel as miserable as Mr. Miserable, well, you know exactly what to do, don't you? Just turn the corners of your mouth up. Go on. Try it.
It's true. It's true. Well, I found it very effective. It made me laugh. Great music. I really like the music. I'm just going to leave it run. All right, so let's see what the next one is. I mean, I do think Arthur Lowe is a fantastic, calming narrator, and that more people should take Mr. Happy's advice on board, and because you know it is genuinely a state of mind over which you have control. All of these things, all of these modern pathologies people have, I'm sure half of it is because they just tell themselves, you know, I'm anxious, I'm angry, I'm upset, or I'm unhappy. If you tell yourself those things will be true. But if you tell yourself that's not true, that I'm a positive and happy person, maybe you too will be Mr. Happy. Let's have a look at the next poll. So the next selection was Mr. Bounce, Mr. Forgetful, Mr. Funny, and Mr. Bump. Now, the crowd has gone by 54.3% votes for Mr. Bump. Mr. Bump. So I'm not saying that problems aren't real, EFC Casual. I'm saying that you have the control over how you respond to those problems and how they're going to manifest themselves. And that ultimately, if you achieve mastery over your spirit, then everything else will follow from there. If you let a problem have control over you, it will then control you. But of course, if you take control yourself, that may not happen. I'm sure Jordan Peterson said something like that once. Anyway. Let's have a look then. So, Mr. Bounce, anyone in the chat disagree with this Anyone disagree with this selection, or should we just go for Mr. Bounce? Let's have a look. Yeah, I'm not saying it's easy, of course. I'm not saying that it's effortless. But it is true that if you're Mr. Miserable, you are probably the ultimate cause of that, and that blaming external factors is in a way a kind of cope. Ultimately, you have to take control over it, otherwise it will take control over you, whatever that thing is. Even if those things are manifestly unfair, even if those things are way outside of your control, it's your response that you have control over. And if your response is to say, well, I'm going to allow that thing to make me miserable, it will make you miserable. If you choose a different response, then that different response will become your new reality. And I believe that. This is one of these things that I think is true. And soon I'm going to be looking at an essay by Evola, which I was reading, and I think he would say the same. I think he would say the same thing ultimately. So let me have a look then at Mr. Bounce. This is the next episode. Let's see what. Did they choose Mr. Bump? No, Mr. Bump is who they chose. Okay, so let's go for Mr. Bump.
This is the sad story of Mr. Bump. The trouble was that Mr. Bump just could not help having little accidents. If there was something for Mr. Bump to bump into, he'd bump into it all right. For instance, if you were to see Mr. Bump walking down the street in your town, and if there happened to be something to bump into down that street, then you know what would happen, don't you? Bump! Mr. Bump was just the same at home. He lived in an extremely nice home. But even there, he couldn't help having the...
Now, one thing I'll mention here is that Mr. Bump seems to be doing a little bit better than Mr. Happy because he's got a bigger house, look. More windows. Lovely looking house, though.
Those little accidents. For instance, one morning when Mr. Bump went outside his house, he noticed that the chimney pot had come loose in a storm the night before. I must fix that before it falls off, thought Mr. Bump to himself. And he hurried off to his garden shed to fetch a...
Okay, I'll just say someone in the chat is questioning my obvious wisdom here. He's saying, there's some truth to this, but it only happens in spells. Life is up and down. Stop talking BS, he says. No, it's not BS. It's not BS. I mean, you can say, well, life is up and down, but the downs, you know, that life will deal you, and certainly it's sent me a few, even in recent memory. It's how you respond to those things in each and every case. It's how you respond to those things. And you can take them in your stride, or you can let them get on top of you, depending on what they are. So I reject the idea that it's BS. Yeah, okay, true. Life will throw things at you that you're not expecting, but it's still up to you how you respond to them, and it's up to you to be the master of that and not the slave to it.
The ladder. Thank you. was a very long ladder. Mr. Bump walked up the garden path with the ladder on his shoulder. He turned the corner of the garden path. Crash with the living room window. Oh, dear, thought Mr. Bump. And he turned to see what had happened. Crash with the kitchen window behind.
See, take Mr. Bump here, right? Why is Mr. Bump always having these accidents? It's because he's formed a belief about himself that he is accident prone. If Mr. Bump stopped saying, "Oh, I'm Mr. Bump, I bump into things," he'd probably stop doing this. But he genuinely believes this about himself, and so carries on having all of these accidents all the time. I'm telling you.
Behind him. Oh, dear, thought Mr. Bump again. And he rested the ladder against the wall of the house so that he could climb up onto the roof to mend the chimney pot. Crash went the bedroom window. So you can see how Mr. Bump had his little accidents. Mr. Bump had had many jobs, but somehow they never seemed to last very long. As soon as anything got lost, or broken, or splintered, chipped, or snapped, or cracked, or torn, or burst, or wrenched, or crunched, or split, or slit. Guess who?
I mean, sooner or later, you're going to think, well, maybe the problem's me, right? It's not; these aren't accidents. This is something about Mr. Bump's mindset, I'm telling you.
Got the blame. For instance, when Mr. Bump worked on a farm. He tripped over the farm dog and spilt the milk.
Well, it's no use crying over spilt milk.
The farm cat lapped it up. For instance, when Mr. Bump was a postman, he got his hen stuck in the pillar box. They had to fetch the fire brigade to come and set him free. For instance, when Mr. Bump was a carpenter, he found that when he was hammering nails, he hammered his thumb most of the time, and the nail hardly at all.
You might want to stick to one profession, you know, given them what a hazard it is.
In order to recover from this series of rather unfortunate happenings, Mr. Bump decided to go away for a holiday. There, he could think about what sort of job he could do where he wouldn't be such a nuisance to everybody. So he set off to the station to catch a train to the seaside.
Nice train.
While Mr. Bump was on holiday, several things happened. For instance, he fell off a boat into the sea, and the lifeboat had to come and rescue him. For instance, one day when he was quietly walking along the beach, minding his own business, he got his foot stuck in a bucket. And as he couldn't get it off, he had to hop round with it on his foot for hours. And as he hopped along the beach, he hopped straight into a large hole that somebody had dug. And he had to stay there all night because he couldn't climb out on his own. However, despite all these little accidents, Mr. Bump enjoyed his holiday. And while he was there, he had a splendid idea about what sort of a job he should do.
Oh, here we go.
It was quite the best idea Mr. Bump had ever had. An absolutely splendid idea.
What's the idea?
And now, Mr. Bump works happily for Mr. Barley, the farmer. Mr. Barley has rather a large apple orchard on his farm, and that's where Mr. Bump works. Mr. Bump's job is picking apples. But he doesn't use a ladder to climb up the tree to pick the apples, like other apple pickers. Oh, no. No, Mr. Bumpus a much better way of picking apples than that. Mm-hmm. He just walks about. And before long, Mr. Bump, being Mr. Bump, walks into a tree. Down falls an apple. And Mr. Bump catches it.
There we go.
This makes the job of picking apples much easier. Mr. Bump is very pleased about his new job, and Mr. Bow is very pleased about his new apple picker. So, you see, the story of Mr. Bump isn't such a sad story after all, is it?
what I like there is that he didn't reform himself. He didn't mend his ways. He just made peace with the fact. He's like, okay, that is just who I am. Which I feel is more of the kind of millennial approach to these things. I think he could have stopped having his accidents, because, as I've been saying, it's a case of mind over matter, right? But clearly, Mr. Bump took the take that shine approach. You know, you're everything I want to be, but you're stuck in a hole. And he just embraced who he was and tried to turn a negative into a positive. He's like, okay, I bump into things. I'll just make it my job to bump into things. Okay, fair enough. It worked for him. But I do think he could have fixed it, personally. So just having a look at some of the super chats that have come in so far. Let's have a look at what people have said. Ganji Bob Flankis has said, my theory is that a person's favorite Mr. Man has a flaw on the opposite side of the Aristotelian mean to the flaw they possess. My favorite is Mr. Rush. Okay, so let me work this out. They have a flaw on the opposite side of the Aristotelian mean, which means that Ganji Bob Flankis is slow. He takes everything too slowly. So he says his favorite is Mr. Rush because he's really Mr. Slow. Ah, interesting. Who would my favorite Mr. Man? I have to think about who my favorite would be. Jedi Knight Anakin Cringewalker says, feels like the Wii Happy Few game. That guy in the chat should stop being such a downer. Well, I mean, it's what I'm saying is, Jedi Knight, it's in his control whether he's a downer or not. But what you should do as a happy warrior, as it were, was do your best to try to make Mr. Miserable less miserable. Not a Scholar says, just got the coof, time for foundations of writing. Well, right. Well, enjoy your course. I should remind everybody that there's currently a 25% sale, 25% off sale on all of the courses at the academic agency. I do know some people were having problems with the code last night. And the reason for that is that I actually just didn't set the number of coupons high enough and it ran out. So there are more coupons now. Anybody who just hit that kind of little window where you were getting an error message. So if you try it now, it should work. Okay, so Coney says, have you become a CBT therapist, AA? No, I don't. I mean, I've heard of CBT. I don't actually know what goes on in CBT. I saw some people in chat saying what I was saying was kind of Aristotelian. I don't think it's a case of Aristotle or this thinker or this school or that school. I just think it's a fact of life, and it's something that we will be stronger if we realize. And it goes back to what I was saying in the video, you know, the one with the funny old timey flicker with soul in it. That the spirit has to come before the intellect or the material, and it doesn't matter if you're reading Aristotle or Seneca or Evola or any of the scholastic, the medieval scholastics, or maybe it's Jordan Peterson. Maybe this is the sort of thing they say in CBT. It's just true. And I think that the way that the enemy controls everybody else is by inverting that and subverting that in all sorts of different ways. True, try to get people to believe that they are victims, whether it's through psychoanalysis, whether it's through erroneous narratives like Marxism. That is typically the strategy of the left. The left wants to make people feel miserable, feel like they don't have control. That's how they operate, and that's how ultimately they gain control over everyone else. It's in the mind. It's up here, as Bowden once said. So that's something that everybody, I think, for 2021 needs to get their head around sooner rather than later. The Wooster says, as an American seeing this for the first time, this is amazing. I'm going to show this to my stoner friends in case they need something to watch. Well, great. I'm glad. English Sailor says, I mean, I think it's great. I love the Mr. Men. I think it's a very calming show. English Sailor says, my crew work as a team. Mr. Bumps, a liability. Thumbs down. Well, I mean, he's not for every employer, I would say, especially with his unwillingness to change his. I mean, what Mr. Bump has done is just said, my traits, my character sheet says I bump into things on it. And he's just embraced that. He thinks it's fixed in stone. The only job he can get is bumping into trees, working for Farmer Barley. Magnesia Shan says, or Mr. Woodhouse, or Woodhouse, he says. What do you mean, or Woodhouse? Bluge162 says, donating despite my hate for YouTube. This channel has been one of my highlights of the year. Happy New Year to you and your family, AA. Well, thank you very much, Blue, and Happy New Year to you as well. Sending you all the positive vibes I can for 2021 and all the rest of your days. So let's carry on with our journey through the Mr. Men Marathon, because the next four selections are Mr. Tickle, Mr. Small, Mr. Messy, and Mr. Greedy. And unsurprisingly, the crowd have gone for Mr. Tickle with 54.9% of the vote. And it's going to be interesting to see what the chat make of Mr. Tickle. I've got a feeling that I'm going to be tickled by the chat's response. But first of all, let's hear this lovely music for another time. Lovely. Okay, so let's find Mr. Tickle. Here we go. Look how 70s that is. So 70s, isn't it?
It was a warm, sunny morning. In his small house at the other side of the wood, Mr. Tickle was asleep.
You didn't know that there was such a thing as a tickle, did you? Well, there is. Tickles are small and round, and they have arms that stretch and stretch and stretch. Extraordinarily long arms. Mr. Tickle was fast asleep. He was having a dream. It must have been a very funny dream, because it made him laugh out loud. And that woke him up. He sat up in bed, stretched his extraordinarily long arms, and yawned an enormous yawn. Mr. Tickle felt hungry. So do you know what he did? He reached out one of his extraordinarily long arms, opened the bedroom door, reached down the stairs, opened the kitchen door, reached into the kitchen cupboard, opened the biscuit tin, took out a biscuit, brought it back upstairs, and back to Mr. Tickle. As you can see, it's very useful indeed, having arms as long as Mr. Tickle's. Mr. Tickle munched his biscuit. He looked out of the window.
Just one biscuit, pretty moral.
Today looks very much like a tickling day, he thought to himself. So, later that morning, after Mr. Tickle had made his bed and cooked his breakfast, he set off through the wood.
I noticed that Mr. Tickle lives in a cottage as opposed to a house. It's kind of interesting.
As he walked along, he kept his eyes very wide open, looking for somebody to tickle, looking for anybody to tickle. Eventually, Mr. Tickle came to a school. Window ledge, Mr. Tickle pulled himself up and peeked in through the open window. Inside, he could see a classroom. There were children sitting at their desks and a teacher writing on the blackboard. Mr. Tickle reached in through the window with that extraordinarily long arm of his, went up behind a little boy called Peter, and tickled him on the back of his neck. Peter giggled out loud. Stop that giggling at once.
Base teacher.
Teacher, sternly. Mr. Tickle waited a minute, then reached in through the window again. Mr. Tickle's extraordinarily long arm went right up to the teacher, Paul, and then tickled. The teacher jumped in the air and turned round very quickly to see who was there. But there was nobody there. Mr. Tickle grinned, a mischievous grin. He waited another minute and then tickled the teacher again. This time he kept on tickling. Until soon the teacher was laughing out loud and saying, "Oh, stop it! Stop it, Roland! Stop it!" over and over and over again. All the children were laughing too at such a funny sight. There was a terrible pandemonium. Eventually, Mr. Tickle thought he'd had enough fun. So he gave the teacher one more tickle for luck, and very quietly brought his arm back through the open window. Chuckling to himself, he jumped down from the window, leaving the poor teacher to explain what it was all about. Which, of course, he couldn't. Then Mr. Tickle went to town. And...
I bet he's going to go to town now.
What a day Mr. Tickle had. Policeman on traffic duty at the crossroads in the middle of the town. It caused an enormous traffic jam.
Oh, look at this early millennial here. Narcissistic.
He tickled the greengrocer just as he was piling apples neatly in his shop window.
What a menace. What an absolute pest.
The greengrocer fell over backwards.
I will say, in the Mr. Men, these brogues that they all wear, These shoes are always in fashion in the Mr. Men.
And the apples rolled all over the shop. There were apples everywhere. At the railway station, the guard was about to wave his flag for the train to leave. As he lifted his arm in the air, Mr. Tickle tickled him.
Now, is this policeman from Spain or something like that? He doesn't look he doesn't look native, this guy. Looks like he's just maybe from South Europe, or I want to say he's a Spaniard.
And every time he tried to wave his flag, Mr. Tickle tickled him. Tickled him again. Until the train was 10 minutes late, and all the passengers were absolutely furious. That day, Mr. Tickle tickled everybody. He tickled the doctor.
Now that doctor looks like he's from India, doesn't he?
He tickled the butcher.
Base butcher. Love this butcher. Wouldn't you love to go to a butcher that looked like that? I would.
He even tickled old Mr. Stamp, the postman, who dropped all his letters into a puddle. Then Mr. Tickle went home.
Just an absolute menace. That's it. That's like he's just bugged everyone all day and just got a job well done. That's my work done for the day. Just tickled everyone.
Sitting in his armchair in his small house at the other side of the wood, he laughed and laughed and laughed every time he thought about all the people he'd tickled. Oh, dear. Oh.
Goes back to his little cottage. Goes back to his little cottage. Oh, job well done. All those people I tickle all day. Oh, amazing. All right, so the next lot of episodes was Mr. Sneeze, Mr. Strong, Mr. Daydream, or Mr. Fussy, and the crowd in yet another display of egregious mainstreamery. They have picked Mr. Strong. So let's have a look at Mr. Strong. I'll let the music play out while I'm finding it. Amazing. Now, Mr. Strong is a pretty good example of what I've been saying, by the way. He believes he's strong. He literally has called himself Mr. Strong. And lo, he is strong.
This is the story of Mr. Strong. Mr. Strong is the strongest person in the whole wide world. The strongest person that ever has been, and probably the strongest person that ever will be. He is so strong that he can not only bend an iron bar with his bare hands, You can tie knots in it.
Now, just while we're watching this, I'll never forget, my dad's brother can, my uncle, in other words, he can take the tops off beer bottles with his, not his eyelid, but his kind of eyebrow, if you can imagine that, because you put the beer in his eye, and he can use like the bottom of his eyebrow to take the little lid off the beer can, off the beer bottle. I've always wondered how he does that. It's quite the trick.
Mr. Strong is so strong, he can throw a cannonball as far as you or I can throw.
Also, I've been lifting recently, as Charlemagne will tell you. I'm on my fourth day of weight training, and I've gone up. I'm doing 20-minute dumbbell workout, and I've been using 5K on each of the dumbbells. I've now gone up to 6 kilograms on each of the dumbbells, and that extra kilo really does make a difference, especially to some of those more obscure ones, like the what's the one where the lateral shoulder press thing. That is really much more difficult with 6 kilos than it is with 5. But anyway, I've been enjoying it.
Throw a tennis ball. Mr. Strong is so strong he can hammer nails into a wall just by tapping them with his finger. Strong by name and strong by nature. And would you like to know the secret of Mr. Strong's strength? Eggs.
Now, I wonder if the NHS in 1973 was on a strong eggs drive. And I wonder if the British Board of Eggs, if there was such a thing, I'm pretty sure there was, actually tapped up Mr. Strong for an advertising campaign without knowing anything else, other than knowing that the NHS exists, that egg board exists, and that Roger Hargreaves had a background in advertising. I would bet you that Mr. Strong, at least one time in his long career, had an egg advertising campaign. And I bet you anything the NHS was trying to push people to eat eggs in the 70s. Something tells me, now, older people in the chat, you may correct me if I'm wrong, but during the rationing era and during like the 1950s when there were still food rations, eggs became scarce and they got replaced with like liquid eggs or powdered eggs were a thing. So when eggs came back onto the market, they needed to encourage more people to eat eggs. Tell me if I'm talking complete rubbish, but just got that in mind.
The more eggs Mr. Strong eats, stronger he becomes. Stronger and stronger and stronger. Anyway, this story is about a funny thing that happened to Mr. Strong one day. That morning, he was having breakfast.
Now, such is the strength of the art and the iconography in Mr. Men that I still, whenever I have a boiled egg-type breakfast, you know, cup of tea, boiled egg, egg and soldier, something like that, I will still call it a Mr. Men breakfast, because they always have this sort of breakfast with the boiled egg.
And for breakfast, he was having eggs, followed by eggs. And to finish, he was having, guess what? That's right, eggs. That was Mr. Strong's normal breakfast. After his eggy breakfast, Mr. Strong cleaned his teeth and, as usual, he squeezed all the toothpaste out of the tube. And, as usual, he cleaned his teeth so hard, he broke his toothbrush. Mr. Strong gets through a lot of toothpaste. And
can you imagine Celebrity Big Brother with Mr. Bump and Mr. Strong in the same house? They'd be an absolute nightmare. Absolute nightmare between them.
Toothbrushes. After that, he decided to take a walk. Put on his hat, opened the front door of his house. What a beautiful day. all to himself. And stepping outside his house, he shut the front door.
Someone saying in the chat, no mention of his morning dump. Well, if he only eats eggs, he's probably constipated, isn't he?
Door fell off its hinges. Mr. Strong gets through a lot of front doors. Then Mr. Strong went for his walk. He walked through the woods. But he wasn't looking where he was going. And walked slap bang into a huge tree. A huge tree trunk snapped. And the tree thundered to the ground. Whoops, said Mr. Strong. He walked into town.
That tree had probably been there for hundreds of years. Absolute vandal.
And again, not looking where he was going, he walked slap-bang straight to a brick wall. And Mr. Strong, being Mr. Strong, walked straight through that brick wall. Whoops, said Mr. Strong. Eventually, Mr. Strong walked through.
A lot of calls in the chat for Mr. Strong to get Mr. Bump's apple job.
Town out into the country to a farm. The farmer met him in the road looking very worried. What's the matter? Asked Mr. Strong.
It's my cornfield. It's on fire and I can't put it out.
Strong looked over there.
What, why are all farmers in texts of this period from places like Somerset? Why is this farmer clearly from the southwest? Farmers are always from the southwest in these things.
Hedge, sure enough, cornfield is blazing, fiercely. Water, said Mr. Strong. Let's get water to put out the fire.
But I don't have enough water to put the whole field out,
cried the worried farmer.
And the nearest water's down to the river, and I don't have a pump.
Is he meant to be Irish? People saying he's Irish. Don't know. I feel like he's from the southwest. Or maybe it's Arthur Lowe trying to do an Irish accent. I can't tell. But I think he's from the southwest. I don't want to say he's from the Somerset kind of Gloucestershire region.
We'll have to find something to carry the water, replied Mr. Strong. Is that your barn? He asked, pointing to a barn in another field.
Yes, I was going to put my corn in it, said the farmer. But
can I use it? Asked Mr. Strong.
Yes, but
no buts. Come on. Mr. Strong walked over to the barn. And
if you're interested in Southwest, Devon, places like that. One of my favourite films of all time is Nuts in May. If you've got no plans for New Year's Eve, because of the lockdown or whatever, you could do worse than watch Nuts in May in its entirety. One of my favourite films.
And do you know what he did? He picked it up. He actually picked up the barn. The farmer couldn't believe his eyes. Then Mr. Strong carried the barn above his head down to the river. And he turned the barn upside down. Then he lowered it into the river so that it filled up with water. Then, and this shows how strong Mr. Strong really is, he picked it up and carried it back to the blazing cornfield. Mr. Strong emptied the upside down barn full of water over the
plane. Somebody just said, this is fine. You know, the meme with the very good.
Sizzle, sizzle, sputter, sputter. 1 minute, the flames were leaping in the air. The next minute, they'd gone.
However, can I thank you?
Mr. Strong embodies heroic will. I think Bronze Age pervert's favourite Mr. Man would be Mr. Strong.
The farmer asked Mr. Strong. Oh, it was nothing, remarked Mr. Strong modestly.
But I must find some way to reward you,
said the farmer. Well, said Mr. Strong, you're a farmer, so you must keep chickens.
Yes, I do, said the farmer. Lots.
And chickens lay eggs, went on Mr. Strong. And I rather like eggs.
Then you shall have as many eggs as you can carry, said the farmer, and took Mr. Strong.
Now that is a stupid, stupid thing to say to Mr. Strong. As many eggs as you can carry, that is a schoolboy error, farmer Somerset.
Over to the farmyard. Mr. Strong said goodbye to the farmer and thanked him for the eggs.
And the farmer thanked him for helping.
Schoolboy error. I can see what's coming.
Strong, just using one finger, picked up the eggs.
What? He can carry more than that. Ah, oh, honest Mr. Strong.
And went home. Mr. Strong put the eggs carefully down on his kitchen table and went to close the kitchen door. The door fell off its hinges. Whoops. And Mr. Strong sat down. The chair fell to bits. Whoops, said Mr. Strong. Started cooking his lunch.
Yeah, he doesn't take advantage. Honest fellow. Very honest fellow.
And for lunch, he was starting with eggs, followed by an egg or two, and an egg between eggs, and an egg on the side, and an egg for luck, and then egg. And then for his pudding, he was having... Well, can you guess? For his pudding, he was having ice cream.
Brilliant. Okay, so let me see what the super chats have been doing then. More super chats have come in. So Mickey the Fourth says, Happy New Year, AA. Your economics-related videos and your channel overall set me on the path to true academic education, and I hope the academic agency becomes a full school one day. Well, funny you say that. There's a sale on at the moment. 12 days is the code. And the academic agency already is a full school. In terms of the education it will give you. I mean, there's just two courses on there at the minute, but as I add more and more courses, and other people are going to be making courses on there as well, I think it will fulfill its purpose if people are getting, as people finish these courses, they send me very nice emails saying that they got a lot out of it. So I'm glad people are actually learning things on these courses as well. But I don't think there's any need to try to, how can I put it, get it, certified with the government or anything like that, because they will, as soon as that happens, they will then want to try to pause it. They'll then try to take control over it or try to demand that certain things are put onto it. So I would rather maintain full control and just be a purely educational outfit in that way. Coney says, Mr. Tickle, more like Mr. Restraining Order. Yeah, he is quite the character, isn't he? Saffron says, Mr. Messy, Mr. Cool, and Mr. Daydream are the best. Well, Mr. Messy is and Mr. Daydream are fine, but I've got a feeling that Mr. Cool is a modern addition created by Adam Hargreaves, the son of Roger, and therefore I wonder about its canonicity. I'm sure Mr. Mempurist would say that anything after 1988 is probably modern and born of the ashes, but the other choices are fine. Years the Eunuch says, that Mr. Tickle was an absolute menace. Lol. Yeah, he absolutely was a menace. And what was really funny is that he just reveled in his in the fact that he was a pest all day and then just went back and chuckled to himself. The Earl of Longford says, it's a Kerry accident. I think he meant it's a Kerry accent. So Kerry is, that's an island, isn't it? I think Kerry is an island. English Sailor says, 2021, Mr. Jihadist. Years the Eunuch says, Mr. Strong is How to Basics father. Yeah, very good. Very good indeed. So, and one of the one of the super chats just come in last minute. Den Tyrell says, are none of the humans curious as to what these bizarre one-trait blob people are doing in their towns? I know. I mean, I wonder if there are secret town hall meetings in which the based butcher and the postman and the doctor and so on meet up and say, what are we going to do about the invasions of these strange one-trait blob people into our towns? Like, why do we tolerate them? Who knows? Maybe there's Mr. Men xenophobia going on. Anyway, let us continue. So what was the next set of episodes? It was Mr. Worry, Mr. Dizzy, Mr. Topsy Turvy, and Mr. Muddle, and the very, very millennial audience have picked Mr. Worry with 36% of the vote. So it's going to be Mr. Worry, and I said that's a very millennial pick because I feel like millennials worry a lot. There's a lot of anxiety and worry. And, you know, as I was saying earlier on, just like Mr. Miserable, I think worry is a state of mind as well. I think it's something that you ultimately have control over, whether you're going to worry about something or not. It just takes willpower, a certain amount of willpower. Not saying it's easy, just saying that Mr. Worry ultimately has control over this, but let's take a watch. Look at the worry lines on his head. Look at those worry lines. You see, this is a good demonstration actually of how somebody's spirit then manifests their state of mind, which then has a physical manifestation that shows you how the physical is the last. He is actually his head has actually changed as a result of his constant worrying. A lot of people are saying Mr. Worry would wear the mask. Of course he would. Mr. Worry probably wouldn't ever leave the house, to be honest. He'd have stayed in isolation for the year.
Poor Mr. Worry. Whatever happened, he worried about it. If it rained, he worried that his roof was going to leak. If it didn't rain, he worried that all the plants in his garden were going to die.
You could also call it like Mr. Risk Aversion, couldn't you?
If he set off shopping, he worried that the shops would be shut when he got there. And when the shops weren't shut when he got there...
How lovely this town is. Look at, wouldn't you like to live there? I'd love to live there. I'd love to go and go shopping there and go to the daily church. I mean, this is my dream of being a loner in this little village here. I'd love to... I just live there. I wouldn't bother with anyone. I just kind of stay in my room. But, you know, I think I'd get a sense of comfort and peace of mind of living in a little town like this.
He worried that he was spending too much money shopping. When he got home with his shopping, he worried that he'd left something behind or that something had fallen out of his basket on the way home.
What's he bought? Are they just boxes of pills that he's bought? Boxes of various, like paracetamol and ibuprofen and various other things.
And when he got home and discovered that he hadn't left anything behind and that nothing had fallen out of his basket on the way home, he worried that he'd bought too much. And then he worried about where to put it all. Life was just one long worry for poor Mr. Worry.
One day, he went for a walk. He was worried that he might walk too far and not be able to get home. But, on the other hand, he was worried that if he didn't walk far enough, he wouldn't get enough exercise. He hurried along, worrying.
I mean, that is what the government is trying to do to you, if you allow them. That's what it's trying to... This sense of kind of constant stress, worry and anxiety is what they are trying to induce in you. And do you have the power to resist that through your own will, through your own spirit? This is what I keep on saying, telling you, as time moves on and as things get worse, this spirit that I'm telling you about is going to become more and more important. Because ultimately they can't conquer that. Whereas this guy, he Mr. Worry would put "I love the NHS" on his, you know, in his cottage window, and he'd be wearing the mask. He'd buy into everything, you know, vote Biden and all the rest of it.
Or you could say he worried along hurrying. He met Mr. Bump.
"Hey, I'm very worried about you," he said.
Oh, my God. Mr. Bump is just about the worst person he could meet. Oh, this is going to be a disaster.
"Why is that?" asked Mr. Bump.
"I'm worried that one of these days you might hurt yourself," he said.
"Don't you worry ahead about that," replied Mr. Bump, and went off, tripping over his own feet. Mr. Worry went on. He met Mr. Noisy.
"Hey, I'm very worried about you," he said.
"Why is that?"
Look, the Mr. Men Brogues, they're very much in fashion in this time, for some reason, those brogues.
Asked Mr. Noisy.
"Well, I'm worried that you might lose your voice,"
said Mr. Worry.
"Don't you worry ahead about that,"
Mr. Noisy, and went off.
Clump, 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 clump.
Mr. Barry went on. He met Mr. Greedy.
"Hey, I'm very worried about you," he said.
A very fitting accent for Mr. Worry, I would say.
"Oh, why is that?" asked Mr. Greedy.
"Well, I'm worried that you might eat too much and be sick,"
explained Mr. Worry.
"Me?"
replied Mr. Greedy.
"Eat too much? Impossible."
And he went off for lunch.
Mr. Greedy will violate the third biscuit rule a lot.
Mr. Worry went on. He met a wizard.
"Hello."
Where's this wizard from? He's kind of quite a plump, you know, spectacle. Looks like a wizard from down the road, doesn't he? Just the local post office master with a little hat on.
Said the wizard. "Who are you?"
"I'm Mr. Worry."
"And you're looking," commented the wizard.
Well, of course he looks it, because the physical is a manifestation of the spirit, as I keep on telling you.
"I should what?" he went on, for he was a helpful sort of wizard. "Why don't you go home?"
Somebody's saying the wizard is Simon Parks.
"And write down every single thing that you're worried about, and I'll make sure that none of these things will ever happen. Then you won't have anything to worry about, will you?"
Mr. Worry smiled. It was the first time he'd smiled in a long time. In fact, it was the first time he'd smiled that year. He hurried home in great excitement.
Look, the wizard has white-pilled Mr. Worry somehow. How did he do it? We'll analyze this in a second.
When he got home, he sat down to write out all the things that worried him. Every single thing.
Now, so somebody mentioned CBT earlier on. Now, I've never, you know, I don't know much about this, but I do know that this exercise here about writing out all of your worries is literally something they do in those CBT sessions. I happen to know this. So that's interesting.
It's a long list. And then he went to bed and had the best night's sleep he'd had in years. The following morning, the wizard came round to collect Mr. Worry's list.
Look, those lines have gone already. It's magic, isn't it?
My goodness me, he said, when he saw the size of it. However, he said, leave it to me. I'll go off and make sure that none of these things will ever happen. Off he went. Nothing to worry about now, called over his shoulder. Nothing at all. Mr. Worry heaved a sigh of relief.
Look, it's all just belief. I'm telling you, it's all just in his mind. And it's evaporated. The wizard is not going to do anything. But it's just what he believes. And then his outward appearance and his physical essence is a manifestation of that, which ultimately comes from the spirit, like I've been telling you.
That day was the first day in Mr. Worry's life that he didn't have a single thing to worry about. And the next day, and the day after, and the day after that. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Mr. Worry didn't have a care in the world.
Somebody's saying that wizard robbed him of his identity.
But on Monday morning, he was a worried man.
Oh.
Oh, dear. What do you think was worrying him? Can you guess? He went to see the wizard. Oh, dear, said the wizard when he saw him standing on his doorstep. What's worrying you now?
I'll tell you,
said Mr. Worry.
I'm worried because I don't have anything to worry about.
And he went home to worry.
Wizards like, I just fixed all your problems and you're giving me this. I guess it can't help some people. That wizard, though, I'm telling you, that is the true magic, what he gave him. All right, let's have a look at the next episode then. This is the last one that we're going to be looking at. There was an option of Mr. Impossible, Mr. Lazy, Mr. Grumpy, and Little Miss Bossy. And the crowd, by 32.5%, have gone for Little Miss Bossy, which tragically I don't have on this playlist. I'm going to have to try to find it here for Miss Bossy. Here we go. Hopefully we find it. Yes. Sometimes in sunshine. Oh, what's this? And sometimes in style. Sometimes with no time or just with a smile. So this is already I'm not liking the music as much as the cozy Mr. Men music. That was quite fun. It's still quite fun. But...
One Monday morning, little Miss Bossy went for a walk, and she met Mr. Chatterbox.
Oh, good morning, Miss Bossy. What a nice sunny day it is in here. Although not as quite as nice as it was yesterday, but yesterday wasn't quite as good as last weekend. But then I don't do very much on weekends, except, of course, this weekend, which, as you
know... Do you know who that is, right? Everybody else on streams who talk too much. No, I'm only joking. Love you all.
No, it's my birthday, and that's why I'm off to the village this morning to make sure everyone is coming to my birthday party. Where are you going today?
My room business.
On Tuesday, she met Mr. Noisy. He was in his garden singing.
Mr. Noisy's made a number of cameos, I've noticed. He's the cameo king, is Mr. Noisy.
Noisily, of course.
Oh, sole mio. Oh,
oh. Shut up! Stop that frightful noise! Shut up!
Oh. On Wednesday...
Is little Miss Bossy the ultimate Karen, do we think?
Little Miss Bossy met Miss Sunshine. She was smiling as usual.
Oh, what a beautiful hat you're wearing today, Miss Bossy. Is it a new one?
An American? I can't believe it.
It does suit you.
She smiled a huge smile.
Shut up. Take that stupid smile off her face, you silly girl.
As you can imagine, little Miss Bossy wasn't very popular. Now, little did Miss Bossy realise, but somebody had seen her bossing Mr. Chatterbox about. And that same somebody had seen her bossing Mr. Noisy about. And that self-same somebody had seen her bossing Miss Sunshine about. And that self-same somebody was the wizard.
The wizard returns. It's the same wizard, but his nose has got a lot redder. Now, considering that the last one was in the mid-70s and this is in 1983, do we think that the wizard has been hitting the old whiskey? Why has his nose gone so red?
He walked home, thinking, yes, something really ought to be done about Miss Bossy.
He's leveled up, I reckon, the wizard.
When he arrived home, he went straight to his library and took down a large red book from a bookshelf. It was rather dusty, as it hadn't been read for some time. Let's see now. Yes, where's that spell I need? He turned to page 304. At the top of the page, it said, How to Stop People Being Bossy.
How to stop people being bossy. Yes, yes, that's it.
The wizard read the page very carefully. The day after, which was Thursday, little Miss Bossy met someone who was fast asleep as usual. Yes, Mr. Lazy.
Wake up! Come along! Wake up!
What's up? Who wants it? Oh, it's you, Miss Bossy.
I mean, can you imagine little Miss Bossy during the pandemic? She would be an absolute nightmare. She would be the worst, you know, she would tut at every person not wearing a mask in the supermarket, wouldn't she?
Oh, I was having such a nice dream, too.
Behind Miss Bossy, the wizard, who had been following her, said something, too, under his breath. A wizardy word he'd learned from page 304. And do you know what happened? Suddenly, as if by magic, which is true, there appeared on Miss Bossy's feet a pair of boots. Miss Bossy looked down in alarm. They were magic boots, and being magic boots, they could speak to each other.
Hello, left.
Hello, right.
Ready when you are.
Right.
And they set off.
Left.
Right.
Left.
Right.
Left.
Stop right.
Left.
Right. Left. Now look here.
Faster and faster, marching poor little Miss Bossy along. Little Miss Bossy couldn't do a thing about it.
Oh, well done, wizard.
The wizard winked a wizardy wink. Those boots marched little Miss Bossy for 5 miles. She was exhausted.
Ready, left.
Ready.
Achina, shut up.
And they came to a halt. Along came the wizard.
Got a license for those boots, mate.
Ah, yes. Those are only for people who are too bossy.
Yes, frightfully boring, thank you. Make them go away at once,
she said angrily, and stamped her foot. Well, at least she tried to stamp her foot, but the boot wouldn't.
We're out of stamps. We're right out of stamps.
The left giggled.
Yeah, that's right, we're out of stamps.
You will do as I say. Stop marching around.
Ready when you are.
Right away.
Quick! March! Left! Right! Left! Right! Left! Right! Left! Right!
10 miles they marched, Miss Bossy. 10 miles. They marched back to the wizard.
Make these stupid boots go away.
Yes, well, only if you say the magic word.
Seems to have lost sound here. What's going on here? Why is the sound cut out?
That's better.
And he said the wizardy word again, under his breath, from page 304. And the boots disappeared as if by magic.
Now then, stop being bossy, or you know what will happen.
Miss Bossy was just about to say something when she stopped, looked down at her feet, and then she nodded.
Very well, smiled the wizard. Now, remember what I said.
And he disappeared. And do you know something? From then on, until now off, little Miss Bossy was a changed person. Not bossy at all. And you know why, don't you? You know what she's afraid of?
Bossy boots.
Left!
Right!
Left!
Right! Left! Right! Left! Right! Left! Right! Left! Right! Left! Right! Left! Right! Left! Right! Left! Right! She's blind.
Sir, is it right? Let's hear this music, shall we?
He's not there late and not here tickle.
She's trouble.
We're happy, tiny, neat,
excellent.
She's little Miss Sunshine.
I'm fussy, I'm greedy.
I'm the one who I am.
I'm truly.
It's magic.
I'm neat.
I'm Walter.
Let it dream.
Let it dream.
And the best
friend in impossible team. All friends together. The little Miss and Mr. Man. All friends together. Round and round we go. Back to back and side by side and on with the show.
Well, that's all of us, isn't it? We're all friends together. It was the friends we met along the way. You should all give each other a virtual hug, wish each other a happy new year, give each other love and support and positive vibes. Now, we got through those rather quickly. Maybe there's time for one or two more. Should we watch a couple more before we get out of here? I think we'll do. I'll do a couple of super chats and then see how much time is left. Maybe I'll do one or two more before we leave because I'm quite enjoying watching these. Saffron says, "Where is Mr. Based and Red Pilled?" Yeah, indeed. Andrew Cooper for £40. Well, thank you very much, Andrew Cooper. It is much appreciated. Means so much. He says, thanks for doing your part in making this world a better place, AA. Well, thank you very much, Andrew Cooper, for doing your part for making the world a better place. And all of you beautiful people in the chat, making the world a better place. We need to carry on trying to do that. All of us. It is the positive contributions that we can all make that will ultimately make a difference, because we're up against an evil and negative energy, and we need to match that darkness with light. Ultimately, it's ultimately going to be the only way to defeat them. Will be through the light we bring into the world, through our spirit, as I've been trying to emphasize throughout the stream. Owen Kapler says, Fauci is a good example of someone's appearance reflecting their spirit. He looks like a whiny little rat, and that's what he is. Yes, and I think that there was a very strong attempt on the part of the cathedral to try to sever that link between how someone looks and what their inner self is, you know. And I think we're all taught to distrust that ancient wisdom. So if you look at something like Shrek, that's basically the inversion of centuries of accumulated knowledge on the topic. Now we're encouraged to think the opposite of that. And I think that's an inversion of the truth. Because there's a good reason why people associate kind of inner peace and harmony with beauty, and people associate the opposite of that with, you know, ugliness, with evil. And the reason is what I've been saying. And we will return to this topic. I recently put out on Twitter what the schedule of the Deepest Lore over the next few weeks is going to be. Most of these were Pharaoh, who's often on this show, coming up with the ideas. And I'll just, I'll share my screen, and you can see. You can see the topics here going forward. Next week, we're going to look at domestic interiors, and how they've changed inside the home over the decades and centuries. Don't know exactly what the time frame of that is going to be yet, but should be interesting. Then on the 14th of January, we're going to look at the amateur art of the powerful. So throughout history, various famous people and powerful people have also done art. The Austrian, famously, of course, but not just him, many others too. And we were going to have a look at their artworks and what that artwork ultimately says about them. Thought it would be an interesting exercise. And I've invited Mr. D to come along to that as well. As you can see, hopefully Mr. D makes it, because his opinion on art is better than mine, yours, or anyone else's. 21st is going to be a stream on propaganda. We're probably going to look at wartime, World War One, World War Two propaganda, posters, films, things like that, from various different sides. So we'll probably look at Allied propaganda, we'll look at German propaganda, and we'll look at Soviet propaganda as well from the same era. Could be really interesting. Then on the 28th, that is the stream we're going to do on the virtue of beauty. And we're going to have a look at thinking around why beauty is linked to be a virtue, and what the thinking behind that is. Then on the 4th, we're going to look at the morals of Disney. And then on the 11th, we're going to look at the power of speech. Pharaoh said maybe that could tie in with foundations of rhetoric. Now, I've put it on the 11th of February with the optimistic idea that foundations of rhetoric will be ready by then. But I don't know. I can't promise. I have to do the foundations of logic first. And quite a lot of people have bought foundations of logic already. And I'm feeling quite a lot of pressure to get it done now. I've had a few days off over Christmas. And I'll get to it as soon as I can, but it takes a while to write the courses. It's quite a lot of work, to believe it or not. So I will get foundations of logic done next. And like I keep on saying, at the moment, until the January the 6th, if you use the code 12 days, you get 25% off. So good time to buy the courses. Even if you've got low time preference, if you want to do the future courses, it's a good time to get them at a discount now, even though you have to wait, you know, 1 or 2 months for them. And some of the smarter people have done that, because I don't know when the next, I mean, there probably will be future sales, but I don't know when. Maybe I'll follow Steam, like whenever Steam do a sale, I'll do a sale, but I don't know yet. But they probably won't be as big as this current sale on at the moment. So it's a good time to take advantage. Now, let me get on back to final episode of Mr. Men before we get out of here. What about Mr. Forgetful? Is that a good one? That a good one, maybe? Somebody was saying before the stream started that Mr. Forgetful was their favourite. So for that chap, if you're still around, mate, I'm going to play this one for you. Oh, I've just spotted saints and scholars in the chat. That's something that I forgot to mention. I've also done the January schedule for Unpopular Opinions, and in January on Unpopular Opinions, I'm going to be doing the state of England, the state of Scotland, the state of Wales, and the state of Ireland. And I've invited various guests on to talk about each of those things. So obviously on the Welsh one, I will have Welsh people. Let me just see if I can pull that up, because I was going to ask Saints and Scholars if she wanted to come on, or if they, there's actually two of them, if you ever look at the Saints and Scholars channel. Now, I must admit, right, Saints and Scholars, I checked out their channel and could not make head nor tail of anything those two girls were up to, and I put it down to cultural and generational differences, but that was certainly interesting. But given that they are two genuine Irish lasses, I thought that they could be people who might have something to contribute. I'll just share that while we're at it, while I'm talking about these sorts of things. There you can see on the 5th of January on Unpopular Opinions, we're going to be doing the state of Scotland. I've asked Tail to feature on for that, but also various other Scots will come on as well. For the state of Wales, I'm going to get somebody called the Voice of Wales on, but also probably Shinobi Yacko and Owain as well. For the state of England, Morgoth will be coming on. And for the state of Ireland, Keith Woods has actually said that he is willing to discuss that, but I thought it might be fun to get Saints and Scholars on too for that. If nothing else, just seeing like a man as serious as Keith Woods with those two would be absolutely hilarious. So yes, all right. So let me know if you're up for that. So okay, let's get on back to Mr. Forgetful. I forgot to share my sound. Hold on. Here we go.
It was one of those beautiful summer mornings that everybody likes to see. In Forget-Me-Not Cottage, the owner was fast asleep, Mr. Forgetful. He was having a dream. Then the sun streaming through the windows woke up Mr. Forgetful.
Oh, he yawned, stretched his arms,
and tried to remember what he'd been dreaming about. But of course he couldn't, because Mr. Forgetful can't remember anything at all, ever. Mr. Forgetful got out of bed and went to wash his face.
Now, I have to say, since having little AAA, I am increasingly like this. Like, I'll go into the kitchen. I'll be like, oh, what am I here for again? I have a lot of moments now where I just forget what I was doing and why I'm in a room, what I'm there for, what I was going to do. It's weird. Lose like 10 minutes in that, you know, in these kind of foggy moments. So I relate a little bit to Mr. Forgetful at the moment.
But he'd forgotten where the bathroom was in his house. Do you know what he did? He walked into the wardrobe. Oh, silly me, he giggled to himself.
Eventually, of course, Mr. Forgetful found his bathroom and washed his face. He even remembered to clean his teeth. Then he went downstairs to make himself some breakfast. He toasted some bread. But, of course, he forgot about it. And it was burnt. He boiled himself an egg. But, of course, he forgot about it, and it was hard-boiled. Mr. Forgetful had burnt toast and hard-boiled eggs for breakfast every day. It was such a lovely day, Mr. Forgetful decided to walk down to the village to buy a stamp for a letter he'd written 3 weeks ago but had forgotten to post. So off he set. And did he remember to shut the door of Forget-Me-Not Cottage behind him?
I mean, for a man so forgetful, look how lovely his property is. It's one of the things about the Mr. Man, like, did you see Mr. Tickle at a really quite nice place? And as far as I can tell, Mr. Tickle doesn't have a job. He just goes around menacing the town. So I don't know if they got inheritance or... I'd love to know what the financial kind of background is of each of the Mr. Men, because they've got some amazing properties. And these were just kind of two a penny in the 70s, apparently.
Of course he didn't. Morning, Mr. Forgetful, said Mrs. Parcel in the village post office.
Now, wouldn't you love... this is another thing that's gone... that has gone from, like, British life, is the local post office. I always saw, like, in Postman Pat or here or in various other things, these old post offices were really lovely places. And since the post office went private, they kind of franchised it. And somebody was telling me that they've got all sorts of rules and regulations about how the post office is meant to be, and apparently they have to go like right at the back of the store. So all of this kind of old character that these places used to have has been lost. I mean, there's one around here, and people tell me it used to be really nice. Now it's just kind of, you know, like a kind of Indian owned corner store, if you want to put it that way, with a kind of post office at the back of it. But it's not like a It's not lovely like this post office here, or like it used to be.
What can I do for you this fine morning? Oh, I'd like... I forgot, he said. A stamp, suggested Mrs. Parcel, looking at the letter Mr. Forgetful was carrying. Yes, 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 a stamp. Yeah, that's what I was trying to remember not to forget. So Mr. Forgetful. Mrs. Parcel smiled. She was used to Mr. Forgetful. Mr. Forgetful...
I mean, I had a moment earlier on. I was taking AAA for a walk. And obviously the baby needs, because it's cold at the moment, needs like a hat and gloves and all sorts of things, you know, before you put them in a little cozy blanket. And then we go out. And by the time I'd got downstairs, I put the hat in the pocket. By the time I got downstairs, I'd forgotten that I'd done that. And I'd forgotten that she had to wear a hat. So I was standing in front of the pram. And this guy, like a neighbor, came across and started talking. And I was like, oh, hey. And I was trying to, like, for the life of me, remember why I was there. And he said, oh, yeah, it's hard to remember, isn't it? Everything you need to do. And I was like, oh, yeah, the hat in my pocket. It's weird. I just don't know why that keeps on happening. It's kind of worrying, actually.
I had some more shopping to do, but could he remember what it was that he was supposed to remember not to forget to shop for? Of course he couldn't. So he decided to go home. On his way, he met the village policeman going the other way. Morning, Mr. Forgetful, said the policeman. You give Farmer Fields a message from me on your way home, please. Farmer Fields had a farm not very far from Forget-Me-Not Cottage. Tell him there's a sheep loose in the lane, said the policeman. Poor Mr. Forgetful. He'd never had a message to remember in his life before. There's a sheep loose in the lane, he said to himself, trying to remember the message as he hurried along. There's a sheep loose in the lane. 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 Mr. Forgetful repeated the message over and over to himself.
Eventually, he arrived at the farm and found Farmer Fields. Mr. Fields, he said, there's a goose asleep in the rain. Farmer Fields couldn't believe his ears. The goose asleep in the rain? Repeated Farmer Fields slowly. But I don't have any geese. And anyway, it isn't raining. Are you sure that was the message?
This farmer's quite well fed, isn't he? I mean, Farmer Fields is quite on the porky side.
Poor Mr. Forgetful. He got it all wrong. And he couldn't remember how to get it all right. Simply couldn't remember at all. So off he went home. Poor Mr. Forgetful.
That's how Joe Biden lives his life at the moment. Like, how does Joe Biden remember anything? And if that was Joe Biden trying to deliver the message, he'd be like, oh yeah, I've come to deliver.
Mr. Forgetful walked away from Farmer Fields' farm, feeling very sorry for himself. I do wish I could remember things, he thought. He was so busy feeling sorry for himself that he didn't see that there was a sheep loose in the lane. He bumped into it and fell over. Bah! How silly, letting a sheep loose in the lane.
That bar was so good by Arthur Lowe. I want to hear that bar again.
Didn't see that there was a sheep loose in the lane. He bumped into it and fell over.
Bother.
Bah.
I want that. I'd love someone to sound clip that and turn it into a meme somehow.
So that he didn't see that there was a sheep loose in the lane. He bumped into it and fell over.
Bother.
Bah.
Gen X sheep.
How silly, letting a sheep loose in the lane, thought Mr. Forgetful.
And then he remembered the message. He jumped up and ran back along the lane to the farm as fast as he could.
Mr. Fields! Mr. Fields! Called as he ran into the farmyard. Mr. Fields! There's a goose asleep in the rain. He'd forgotten again. Mr. Fields scratched his head. Come with me. Come on, cried Mr. Forgetful, and pulled Farmer Fields back along the lane until they came to the sheep that was loose. There it is, cried Mr. Forgetful. A goose. And then he stopped. Oh, dear, he said, am I? That is not a goose, is it? That's a sheep. I think, smiled Farmer Fields, that you're the goose. And he chuckled. Even the sheep started to laugh. It was so funny. Later that day, Mr. Forgetful sat down in his favourite armchair in Forget-Me-Not Cottage to think about what a funny day it had been. And he giggled and giggled. The more he thought about that goose asleep in the... that goose asleep in the... In the train? Oh, dear. He'd forgotten again.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah, I noticed the picture of Mr. Happy in his house as well there. What's going on there, I wonder? Mr. Forgetful and Mr. Happy, great mates. All right. Okay. I think the time has come. If you can hear in the background, AAA has awoken from her nap. That probably means that it's time for me to get out of here. So, thank you very much, everyone. There's just been a few more super chats, which I'll read before I leave everybody. The Earl of Longford says, Brog's Gaelig equals auto donation. Tioch fin dawr awla. I think he's speaking Welsh. Is that Welsh? I don't know. It could be Gaelic. I think it's Welsh. Tioch. I think that means thank you. in Welsh. I'm not sure, though. I was always very bad at Welsh in school. They made us do it. I've tried to find it to watch again, but there was this thing featuring that guy with the who's on Publicum, the guy who looks like Elvis. He was in that rock band years ago, and he was in this thing called Skilly Eye George. And most Welsh lessons were just the teacher sticking on that video, Skilly Eye George, which we had to watch. I didn't learn anything in like 3 or 4 or 5 years of doing Welsh. I remember my friend would just, in fact, my friend did a kind of Mr. Tickle tactics on the teacher. He'd put a jumper over his head, crawl under all of the tables and tap his foot, and then sneak all the way back. And she'd be like, oh, what was that? What was that? All the time. Did that for about a year. Sneaking under the table, tap your foot. And that teacher was a pretty large lady, I'll put it that way. So she was never going to get up or anything. So, Chris Lutio says, AA, when will Foundations of Logic be out? Well, I can't promise anything, but I'm aiming for mid-January. I'm aiming to get it done in the next 2 weeks. That will be my focus. But it's with the lockdown and the AAA and everything, it's kind of tricky because I need quiet to do the recordings. That's something. I've also been my brother got me this soundboard thing, which I was hoping would massively improve the sound quality of my recordings. Unfortunately, it seems to have done the opposite, because since I was using that, everybody's complaining about my audio, saying that I sound like I'm coming out of a bucket. So I need to play around with the different mics and different settings to try to find the best one. So obviously I need the course to have good sound quality. So I want to fiddle around with that first, get it right. So keep on giving me sound back on mics. This is the little Tempo mic I'm using today. How does it sound to you? Good one. Next, super chat. Locke Urquhart says, which Mr. Man would represent H.P. Lovecraft's cat best? I don't know. You'd have to ask H.P. Lovecraft, expert on that. Owen says, Happy New Year to you, AA, and all the DL. Indeed. Well, happy new year to you, Owain, my Welsh friend. Much love and positive vibes to you. Colours says, the fiance gifted me the Foundations of Writing for Christmas. She's a real gem. Thank you for all you do, AA. Happy New Year to everybody watching. Well, thank you very much, Colours, and to your fiance. Hope you're very happy together. I'm sending positive vibes to you both. Hope you have a good New Year's as well. I don't know what anyone's doing, because nobody can have a party or anything. If you remember, though, I always disliked New Year's because it always felt like forced fun. But because you feel like you have to do something. I'm not going anywhere because there's nowhere to go. I do have a bottle of Moët, that bottle of champagne in the fridge that we might open. Someone at Thug Life Bear says, play Mr. Impossible next. Well, I'm afraid we're out of time, Thug Life Bear. Maybe on another show. The Earl of Longford says, you said brogues shoes for Miss Bossy's wizard shoes. It's Irish. It's an Irish borrowed word. Next is our day will come. Much love from the best island off Europe. Well, thank you very much, the Earl of Longford. And I hope you are. I hope you tune in for the State of Ireland stream that we will do, because I'm interested to know what's going on. I don't know if anybody's noticed, but recently in Argentina, there's been all those scenes of the various women celebrating the fact they've legalized abortion in Argentina. And I always remember those scenes coming out of Ireland. To me, those scenes are a bit creepy. They're a bit kind of anti-human. And they send me not positive vibes, but they send me bad energy. It feels like those things are signaling that the country's been conquered. That's what it feels like to me. So I want to explore that a little bit with Keith, Saints and Scholars, and whoever else comes on that Ireland stream. I want to know what's been going on in Ireland. Why have they abandoned their Catholic roots? Well, Ireland was meant to be a religious country. What happened? So anyway, thank you very much for that super chat, sir. And much love to everybody. Thank you very much. Happy New Year. Now get out.